There's only really, in my mind, one analogy in all the lexicon of house aesthetics that could even come close to the intensity and, I don't know, religiosity that people feel towards their homes, and that really is the quote-unquote contemporary house. Now, architects want to vomit when they hear the word contemporary house. They'd rather it be modern. And, you know, modernism as a practice formulated in the early 20th century really was just throwing off the shackles of stylistic artifice that was really imposed on all architecture by the realities of climate and culture and all that kind of stuff that is non-aesthetic. And all that involved decoration and historically accurate posings of the house. And what happened in American culture was Frank Lloyd Wright happened, and he basically broke the box. And that changed everybody's view about what houses could be. And other architects took on that mantle, and they really thought about sites as being part of a house as opposed to a house type that just sits on any site. And as in any free market economy, what really happened was developers of houses said, well, how can we use this non-historic idiom, this way of manipulating a house so that it fits some architect's pre-existing brain cells and some site's, you know, extreme topography? How can we use that to make a buck? And so what happens in a lot of suburban American communities is you get sort of contemporary land. Well, in Guilford, Connecticut, and I'm here, by the way, with Lee Whiteman, I think the greatest real estate agent in Guilford, Connecticut, if not the universe. And Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're in the Sam Hill district. Would you call this sort of extended Sam Hill in Guilford?
This is in the middle of Sam Hill.
Because Sam Hill was this amazing place, really around the late 60s. They opened up these incredibly rocky, you know, amazingly rocky, really, I guess they were old pastures because nothing could grow here. And these horribly twisted roads and incredibly convoluted landscapes. And what could you ever build on that? Well, you can't really build a cape on it. You can't build a colonial. You can't build a ranch. You can't build anything really except some kind of oddball house that's got a shape that can shift and adapt and reach out and drop down and be something that is as expressive as the landscape, but hopefully, if it's well designed, adaptive to it. And what this means in sort of the dumbed down, you know, like contemporary architecture for dummies aspect, are very low pitch or no pitched roofs, which this house has.
They are impervious to water if they're done properly.
Which pretty much they are for a while, and they always leak. And then they're always there's a very big tradition in the Sam Hill area of vertical siding. Now, this is the true vertical siding made of natural cedar, and the sort of lesser version of that in terms of durability and visual effect is something called T111 siding. The cheapest known siding product in the world is both the sheathing, which is the underlayment, and the finished surface, which is, in this case, solid wood TNG. Now, this home is almost a perfect example. There's water next to us, these tall trees reaching out for sunlight, gigantic boulders. Let's get inside this thing because it has kind of a crotch entry. You can actually see the sort of crystalline middle thing that you have to access by what I think was probably a very not great set of stairs that have been replaced by really a pretty nice set of stairs now. This involves some heartwood pine, and this kind of flowing open steps going up to the house is totally non-traditional. Runs a lot of zigzaggy stuff. You come to this low part between two wings of the house, and you can see windows are all over the place. There are no regulating lines, no trim. It's all very abstracted. It's like a sculpture sitting amongst all this stone. And you walk in, and here is the perfect hexagonal shaft O-light from the hexagonal, oh my God, hexagonal plastic skylight that rips all the way down through that. In the architecture biz, we call that the hinge. The hinge. The knuckle. Yes, it's the vortices. But the other thing that really makes contemporary houses what they are for the average housing consumer is that you can have these huge, wonderful double height spaces, gigantic glass that brings the outside completely in. And we're looking through windows that are at least 16 feet high.
I mean, this is amazing. This is absolutely gorgeous.
And you can see there was some kind of architect involved because they're steel frames and they have these little panels at the bottom for ventilation.
So you open them up and that's the airflow comes from those little hinged areas down below because they are fixed panes.
Yep, they're fixed panes. This is done, I'm assuming the vintage of this house is early 70s?
77.
So, okay, mid-70s. There you go. And you can see that this thing is heavily engineered for structure because of these long spans. You see there's clear story windows up here that bring in light that backlights these big windows. There's skylights. And then you walk out, and there's a space outside that basically allows you to eat. A beautiful, oh, this is fantastic, a beautiful big place to eat that is covered and screened, and another beautiful place that just is a deck. And there is the primary color kitchen. Lee, what if you were to try to sell a contemporary house, give us how you would sell it. Because I think the conventional wisdom is it's harder to sell a contemporary house than it is a known traditional house.
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to listen to who's buying, because you cannot sell this house to somebody who doesn't want it. So someone who wants the Center Hall Colonial, they will not be turned on by this property. But as these buyers who've been in this house for 6 months, they wanted space. They've got kids who are growing up. They wanted enough elbow room so they could be comfortable. They wanted space and light and air and privacy. And because of the nature of this lot, which would never accommodate, as you said before, a colonial or a cape, they've got all of those things. And so you just have to pay attention to what people want. And sometimes if someone says, I want a colonial, but I want light, I want air, I want this, you say, come with me. Come and look at this house.
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, when you're working as an architect, people desperately want to peg you. They want to say, are you a traditional architect? Are you a contemporary architect? And it's very hard for people like me that, you know, my only aesthetic thing I can't do is I can never do a flat roof because I just know over time it's going to leak. And that probably puts me in the zone of traditional architects for other architects. But the work I do uses large walls of glass, double height spaces, all this kind of stuff, so that for the average housing consumer, they say, well, Duo's kind of a contemporary architect. And the truth is, it's just design is design. And what is very interesting is that you can absolutely put a traditional home on this site. You could do it, but it would look like hell, and it would function like hell. It would be a horrible misfit, and it's done all the time. And it's one of these things where houses have to feel comfortable in their site, the micro site and the macro site. And this house, even though it is truly sculptural, is truly got polygonal aspects to it, and it's extremely pungent in the way it is. It's rendered so that it's like I used to say, you know, the beef jerky is one of these things where you either love it or you hate it. Well, contemporary architecture, just like antique architecture, you either love it or you hate it. And, you know, I have to say that I've got warm and fuzzies for this kind of crystalline, crisp stuff, because it showed there was an architect who was thinking abstractly and really relating the whole house to the site. You know, it really is fantastic. And since it's a transparent relationship with the outside, why don't we just walk outside and take a look at the backside of the house, which is located right on grade, whereas we had to walk up the steps to get into the house to begin with. So this really blends the house.
Wow.
The only flat area of the whole site, which is this little flattened area, guaranteed to be the septic system. And as we go out back, you can see there's the low area of the house, and two wings are zooming up in this kind of beautiful chevron, literally sculpture. That was created, just literally sculpture.
And I think what we have here is 19 skylights. 19 skylights. Yeah. So you do have the marriage of the inside of the house with the outside, but you also have daylight all through the house. Yeah. And that's very, very important.
And unlike some contemporary houses that are really, I would say, problematic, this house actually has eaves, so that the house will actually be a little bit in shade and will not suffer the vicissitudes of horrific wear and tear. You know, you can make a case that the reliance of contemporary architecture on materials to shed water and to resist rot is inherently flawed because, you know, traditional architecture, super traditional historic architecture, used gravity and shadow and operable windows to actually defeat the aging and rotting process. But you know what? Contemporary architecture is special because it is the triumph of the human mind to overcome the natural limitations of a site, but then exploit them. And if you can find your way clear to living really in the mind of a designer when you live in a contemporary house, if you feel comfortable having this dynamic dance with somebody's conception of what a house or any architecture can be, then the things you discover in the years that you live in a contemporary house are continually enriching your life every day and reinventing how you look at the world, because you're seeing it through a lens which intentionally has never been looked through before.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, author, and the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine. And Lee Whiteman is a realtor in Guilford, Connecticut.